this time on Those Conspiracy Guys. We invite you to tune in, turn on, and drop out to the quest for the conception of cognition and the search for the source of sentience. The holy grail of deciphering the most pertinent questions for qualifying our place in the pantheon of consciousness. An introverted journey of exploration that has tested, troubled, and intrigued hominids for many millennia before records began.
The true nature of consciousness is perhaps the most perplexing puzzle piece in the perception of reality. The paradoxical prize of trying to unravel the mysteries of the mind using the prowess of the mind itself. The workings within our brains sometimes appearing to be a veritable well of information as infinite as the very universe in which it exists and equally as intangible in its machinations.
And thus the study, discussion, and experimentation into the intertwined disciplines of psychology and neural physiology have become a cornerstone of the cutting-edge science at the forefront of all human understanding. To reveal the full scope of information processing and its effect on our powers of perception. However, these endeavours into the inner recesses of the mind aren't a new thing.
The works of psychedelic substances has, by the words of those involved in the cognitive arts, been an instrumental insight and beneficial boost to the mercurial mastery of the mind. Some speculate that prehistoric plants and fungi, tantalizingly teeming with active substances, provided a happy hallucinogenic hallway to the true cognition that could have driven the unbridled and unprecedented upgrade of neural evolution that oversaw our transition from monkey to man.
But these esoteric and entheogenic practices of marrying the divine with the sublime would fall afoul of the organized religions. The deeply personal nature of their experiences at odds with the modern Abrahamic doctrines. And as the religions went, so the cultural median of societal opinion went, and consequently a key catalyst has been carelessly cast aside in the callous and calamitous criminalization characterized in the catastrophic worldwide war on drugs.
And so the cacophony of ancient biological and modern synthetic psychedelics have been forced underground to the illegal world of illicit trafficking. Their effects malign in the mainstream and their beneficial properties totally misunderstood. Today, with thousands of years of use and countless control subjects behind us, we have still barely scratched the surface of study. And some would go so far as to say, dark and powerful forces are behind the vilification and attempted eradication of this natural antigen of understanding.
Are psychedelics the danger to the sanity of society that they are purported to be?
And have we unfairly excluded their existence in modern society?
Are they the next miraculous breakthrough for medicine in the fight against the global epidemic of mental health issues?
Could they have been the single most important factor in the planetary dominating historical evolution of the hominid mind?
Was there an agenda behind the addictive and destructive classifications given to psychedelic substances?
Are they the key to the majoritively desired mass reform of society and the next great upgrade for the universal, singular subconscious?
And could the speculated ethereal and evil cabal atop society have sought to curb their revolutionary presence in civilization?
Or is our mysterious consciousness just a curious consequence of an ongoing evolutionary process, and all psychedelics just a chemical quirk creating fabricated perceptions of our tangible reality?
So join us, co-conspirator, as we skip the light fandango and turn cartwheels across the floor through the doors of perception and into the kaleidoscopic odyssey of extra-dimensional oddities that populate the Pandora's box inside your beautiful bonce. This time, on Those Conspiracy Guys, it's psychedelics and the awakening of consciousness. Hello and welcome to the show. I hope you have your thinking caps on for this one.
Yeah, you should be fully awake now.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
We've
prepared.
Squeegeed your third eye there with that Terence McKenna induction speech.
Yeah, line up the 24-hour energy boost drink that kills your liver.
We are those conspiracy guys. I'm Gordo.
I'm Paul.
And with us, you heard the beautiful lilting tones of our very own psychonaut, a wonderful waistcoat wearer, former comedian, current philosopher, and perpetual higher thinker.
Renaissance man in training.
Yes.
I like that.
Monsieur Robert Coyle.
Hey, thanks.
Welcome, Rob.
Ooh. Excellent. I'm thrilled to be here.
Rob, we've never had you on the show before, but just so our listeners know, they all know I used to be a comedian around Dublin.
Yeah.
And as did you, I guess, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's where I would have met you, I think probably about 5 years ago now.
Oh, yeah. A good long while.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was definitely one of those things where when you meet someone and the amount of connection or fondness you feel for the person is not related to the amount of time. Like, I think we got onto each other's wavelengths nearly instantaneously.
I don't want to wait for our love to be over. That's what that is. Just like, I saw her sitting in the rain, raindrops falling on him.
Their brainwaves met, and it was kinship.
Making you uncomfortable, Gordo.
I think we had
a bit of leakage there.
I'm weeping. But no, there was definitely a similar disdain for obsolescence of mundanity.
Yes.
Mm. And we tried, like, I know when I was on stage, I was talking this stuff.
Yeah.
But there was only like 11 people that wanted to hear jokes about airplanes.
Absolutely.
And airplane food. What's with this thinking? Yeah. All these guys are thinking about stuff.
Here's things that won't make you feel uncomfortable at all. Don't worry, you're right about everything. You don't need any more thinking. Stop thinking there.
I remember you laughing very heartily at a song I used to play called A Pedophile's Dream.
Absolutely.
Which is a song sung from the point of view of a young boy who's trying to like sexually entice a pedophile, because that was his preference. He was like, it's my body, it's my choice.
He's a geriophile.
Yeah. This is he was like, come on, I know what I want. I know I'm young.
Yeah.
But I can, you know, I can make a choice for me.
I have urges.
Yeah. And it was quite funny that's our kind of first impression, that you're like, hey, you're the guy that sings the pedophile song. And I'm like, No,
I'm an artist. Like,
not across the street.
But it's great to have you here, man. And I like, whenever we were doing a show on psychedelics, like, we've done a few different shows on, say, MK Ultra.
Yeah, yeah.
We've mentioned some stuff about, like, you know, the manipulation of mind through propaganda, like Hitler and the occult, and being able to use the mind for more than just like get up, go to work, do the thing, come home, have a shit, fuck your wife, go to bed. Like, you know.
Yeah. Don't think about the fact that you're going to die, but you are going to die. And what's worse is you're going to be there when it happens to you. But don't think about that. Just fucking keep on going.
And you're going to be there on your own
when it happens. Yeah. Absolutely. I had that realization about 3 years ago, and I don't think I could sleep for about 2 days. It's like, shit, death's actually going to happen to me.
I'm on my own. It's good.
Psychedelic thought.
So, like, me and Paul have had a really busy week. I hope you had a great Halloween, everyone.
Yeah.
We went to Cork.
Hope it was scary.
Yeah, we went to Cork, to the University College Cork.
We did
a fantastically, wonderfully exhilarating kind of, I don't know, seminar, talk, what would you call it? A gig?
A communal joy session.
Sure.
I would call it, but I mean, I'm a bit of a fanny. I think, we went to where the students lived.
Yeah.
And they all live in a big building. They're all housed together, and they read books there. And we went there and said, hey, put your books down for a minute. We're going to talk to you.
We're going to drop some truth.
Airplanes crash into buildings.
Well, it wasn't any. There was no, like...
they're so young.
There was no pretentiousness.
They're like, September 11th happened when I was 2 years old. I'm like, oh, fuck you, man. Like, literally, go fuck yourself, and then come back, and then we'll start talking about how it was a conspiracy.
All your joints work and don't hurt you and shit. Fuck off. But, no, it was great. And we just want to say thanks to Jack and Tiernan for sorting that out, and for all the people
folks
for coming.
They were lovely to us.
Aaron was there, Jonathan, Owen, and some of the fans that I think kind of weren't going to the college and ended up still being in the gig. That was
snuck into the college, pretended to be students.
It was weird.
Oh, you've got fans.
Yeah.
No, but it was great crack, and some people won some t-shirts and stuff. Like, so if anyone out there wants to do any speaking engagements, I'm sure we could come to some arrangements.
We do bar mitzvahs, sure.
You do literally do children's parties.
Yeah. We'll consider other things after that, more highbrow stuff.
We won't do any of the Holocaust denial stuff with the bar mitzvahs.
No, it's more just like circumcision jokes. Lots of them.
Hey, cut that out. But yeah, so if you want to get in contact with us, or there's anything that we're going to talk about on the show that touches your mind,
or that makes any part of your body,
yeah, it makes you feel like you want to reach out and contact us on facebook.com/thoseconspiracyguys. We're on Twitter at @tconspiracyguys, and we're on like Pinterest and Snapchat and all the other crack. And we're still on Vine for as long as it stays alive, I guess,
for another 2 days. But just to look at Vines,
yeah, that's all that we do. That's all. We don't make them.
Those are World Star Hip Hop Vines.
The show itself wouldn't be able to be made without the wonderfully generous, beautiful, sentient, enlightened, and did I say generous?
Probably at the start.
Double generous. People at patreon.com. Yeah. So our Patreon subscribers are the lifeblood of what's heroes, going on here.
The real heroes. The people rushing into burning buildings, but yeah, digitally online.
Digitally online, you with know? A couple of dollars.
Yeah, metaphorically.
And going, here. Yeah. rub yourself with that. It's wet. And then just like put it over your mouth so you don't breathe in the smoke.
Run out of the building. Good idea.
The people at patreon.com are funding the show, funding our ability to be able to keep making the show. Yeah, absolutely. So patreon.com/thoseconspiracyguys. If you want to help the show out, if you think that you have a dollar or two down the back of the couch every month,
you want some of that tingly goodwill in the back of your of your brain there.
Yeah, but it's not for nothing.
You can get it. Yeah,
it's not for nothing.
And we'll get it too, and then we'll send the vibes back and you send it back our way. It's this weird like cyclical joy fuck session.
Yeah,
circle jerk.
Yeah, circle jerk, I believe that's what it is called.
But the people on Patreon end up getting like exclusive content. They will get 30% off all the TCG merchandise in our TeePublic store. So if you want to go onto the website, we have a t-shirt store which I think I counted 400 t-shirt designs in it.
Yeah,
all conspiracy themed. There's about 13 that
it's not like our face on all of them.
We have personally designed about 13 of them.
Yes.
And then the rest have been curated then from other artists and stuff from the whole website. So patreon.com/thoseconspiracyguys, you get access to like YouTube live videos where you can join in with us live online and comment and stuff like
hangouts
that.
Hangouts and stuff.
There's hangouts, and we'll have a little kind of a...
Also, I might just start using WhatsApp because I'm lazy.
Yeah, it's harder now that you're not living in town. Uh-huh. You know, you get all the exclusive YouTube videos and stuff that the normies don't get to have a go of. So if you head over to Patreon, you know, you'll be like the favourite child in the family.
You can be a hero too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like David Bowie said,
I can be heroes.
Body to body, funk to funky. Oh no, wait. Oh, one more thing. I should say the thing. We did get like a message about, you know, if there's any, even though there's an explicit warning on iTunes, there may be some younger folk that take to listen to this. And we should do a little disclaimer. You've heard what this episode's about. It may be pertinent if you're under 16 or whatever to go maybe talk to an adult, maybe tell them what it's about, give them the synopsis of the episode, see if they're okay with you listening to it. Mm-hmm. I would say though, you should bear in mind that they might not let you listen to the episode.
Yeah.
So you have to decide if you're like a pussy nerd or not. You know what I mean? Are you a pussy nerd?
It could be like me down in the shed listening to like Richard Pryor on a tape player.
Yeah. Transformative for your life, right?
Yeah, but
sometimes you gotta pull the trigger. I mean, not literally.
Or destroyed it.
Sometimes. Yeah. You gotta take a chance.
I suppose that's a great disclaimer.
Take a chance on us, folks. All I'm saying.
You wanna change your mind? Do a couple of lines. Honey, I'm still free, smoking DMT.
This is good info.
we're going to talk about psychedelics today. Mm. We're going to talk about the existence of human consciousness and the nature of, you know, our minds and what makes up a human and why do we do the things we do. And it's a very broad topic, but we have it very specifically laid out. We've talked about how, you know, the American government and other nefarious forces have used these psychoactive substances to be able to kind of hack the mind and get in behind what drives us. Also, people have used it in advertising and people have used it in, you know, propaganda to be able to further a message and to be able to circumvent like the subconscious limitations that someone might have to be able to get their own way or to be able to manipulate someone into doing what they want. This show is probably about getting what you want, which is to be, you know, to return to the great oneness of consciousness, to be able to experience yourself subjectively and not like be so worried that, you know, you have to have your bills and you have shit to do and you have homework to do and you know, you're in work and you're like, oh fuck, I have to get these deadlines and all that shit. It's just like, it's all good, man.
Yeah.
It's all good, man.
And there are also a lot of things that we take for granted that we should be asking why.
Oh. Like surely.
This is the Terence McKenna thing about removing cultural scaffolding, which the first time I heard that phrase, I didn't have a fucking clue what it actually meant.
Yeah.
But then what it means is it's the concept of everything you take for granted, such as the concept of the 9 to 5, the concept of the, you know, kind of...
I have to wear pants all day.
Like national boundaries.
Yeah.
You know,
like indoctrinated structures.
Absolutely. And exactly.
Take them down.
All of those things that you just accept and you assume that they're like gravity. They've always existed.
This is how interactions work. Because other humans.
Does it have to be?
Why can't I just hug every fucker I meet straight away, even if it's a stranger?
It's funny how you use gravity as an example, because gravity is daily being like challenged as an absolutism or whatever. Psychedelics is
also it's going to be about tech and drugs.
Loads
skirted
of drugs.
Over that part as well.
Allegedly,
stuff about tech and drugs.
But that's just how you get there. That's like, I mean,
it's like a shortcut. This is an episode about consciousness, and a part of consciousness is tech and drugs to take a shortcut.
It's like going to the gym.
It's working out the muscle.
Psychedelics is weights for your creativity.
Love it.
Beautiful.
You know, it's
that's going on a
training.
Meme somewhere. Someone's making that right now. There we go. It's on Facebook.
So Rob, let's get to you first. Then I said to Paul, if we're going to be doing something on psychedelics, because we've had a pretty heavy season so far in season four.
A few dark topics.
And this is the light before the eventual downturn into the mire of what's coming up between now and Christmas, where the world is fucked everything is, you know. So, Rob, you were the man that I chose to do this. Not because, you know, you're a drug fiend or that you're, you know...
it's just a coincidence.
You're the man who's like, yeah, no one asked this. I've taken loads of it, lots of times.
It had no effect on me.
I'm saying that you're what I would call definitely a psychonaut, someone who explores consciousness while using these substances, but also while not.
Yes.
You're always examining yourself.
Yeah, trying to navigate
on
your
a bus
own
and people telling you to stop. I mean, you're always examining like how your brain works and how other people's brains operate and what consciousness is. So tell us, like, where did you get your first lick of the higher mind?
I'm imagining a lot of people would be like this. It would be listening to music while on cannabis,
right? And so it was drug induced.
That would have been
cannabis was your first drug.
Yeah. Well, I mean, other than like nicotine and alcohol, but like that's the crazy thing. We don't even count them.
I don't consider those at all. I'm pretty sure you took baby Calpol too before
caffeine,
that time.
Sugar.
Exactly. So there would have been a time when I realized that I was able to feel things more. Is the only way I can describe it. While stoned, and that music had like music just felt better, but I never had that conscious thought. So I never kind of went, I will do this to do that or to feel that. It was just something that I kind of naturally found myself kind of pulled towards.
Or like, and some poor people, they're like, I can't even do that until I do this.
That would bother me.
I can't watch a movie until I get stoned.
Appreciate it. Like when you get drunk and you go, like, oh, look, I've got all this extra confidence kind of feeling. But then you get high and you go, oh, I've all this like extra oneness with the universe feeling. But then you don't really appreciate it. You don't go, actually, that's way better than the drinking thing. Yeah. Why do I ever go drinking anymore?
Yeah.
Hang on a minute.
I know the... certainly when I was younger, there wouldn't have been that kind of that universal oneness. I mean, obviously, we just weren't having the right stuff. But
it was a black tar hash.
Yeah.
Of course. Soap bar, yeah.
Of course. Yeah, like,
with a bit of a shopping bag.
Yeah. Across the end. Yeah. Where the bag's kind of stuck in the end of it.
So I kept on waiting to have these, you know, spiritual experiences that people talked about. And it wasn't. It was just me and me mates goofing around listening to Joy Division and stuff.
Yeah. Like,
so mainly stupid stuff, but every now and then something that sounded smart.
Absolutely.
But getting, like, I would classify it as finding the mong.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but like...
Gotta get your bottom barrel.
I know
the lip of the barrel is at the top.
Yeah, I know guys who are like smoking like the best weed now who go, geez, you know, you'd miss soap bar sometimes. Like sometimes I just want to have a mong, like smoke a joint, have it like smell like, you know, Glade air freshener.
I was never into that. And then get stuck to
the couch and watch like 9 Simpsons in a row.
I was never into that. I did it a lot. I did that a lot.
Of course.
Yeah, but that's just the byproduct of overusing it.
But I never liked that. And it's I liked getting lightly, what I would call lightly toasted. Not even stoned, just lightly toasted.
Golden brown.
All right, exactly. Yeah. So it's like you're perfectly functional. You can essentially, or you certainly believe you can. You're not slurring your words. And actually my thoughts accelerate. I find I was having more thoughts and I could chase them much easier.
And no paranoia.
No paranoia.
Because you weren't having too many thoughts that it scared you.
Exactly. And so then you'd put music on and it'd be like...
And you could take away the thoughts.
Oh, I understand what beauty is now.
Yeah.
Like, it was just that.
And this is like pre-internet days. This is like, yeah, like whatever you had around you was what you had, yeah, and there was no deluge of information.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whatever movies you had on video, you were like, do you want to watch this?
Well, a movie was an event. I mean, yeah, I remember, like, I mean, this, I remember in my day, but like, you'd wait till Friday to go and rent a VHS from the local exhibition. And it was a big fucking deal. It was like, that's what we're doing on Friday. Yeah. We're renting a video, you know.
Yeah, I mean, those days.
Yeah.
And what was your first, like, interaction into psychedelics and your...
Really recently.
The elevation of your consciousness. Now, I knew you pre this.
Yes.
And to be honest, man, you were always that.
Yeah. Oh.
But this just seemed like...
Like
an upgrade of...
Yeah.
Like it was a coat of
armor.
That was
a Transformers there, by the way.
Yeah, it was a Transformers thing. Yeah. It was your... You know,
well, I got interested because
it was
an extra,
like it was like, I know you have a gun, but now you've got a shotgun.
It felt like it has. So look, like everything, you know, kind of the usual disclaimer and stuff with this. Look, this isn't going to be universal, and like what happened to me isn't always going to happen to everybody else. But
because some people are dumb,
I would say that psychedelics have had a positive impact on my life.
Yeah,
there's just no other way to say it. And I got into them because of listening to the Joe Rogan podcast. Because I started having this thing. It's like, because I would have bought the whole drugs are bad. All drugs are all bad all the time. Because
some are terrifying.
Exactly, right? But apart, you know, kind of...
Except marijuana, right?
Like, well, even that was still considered... Like, it's fucking schedule one. Like, it's the same as cocaine or
something.
You
still feel
like
bad
that.
About it.
So it was still...
Oh, yeah, but it's still legally a problem.
It's, yeah, absolutely. Like, hugely. And people... And, well, marijuana had the whole stereotyping of potheads and low productivity and stuff.
And it kills brain cells.
And it kills brain cells and all of that.
Carcinogenic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then what I started noticing is the longer I was alive, right? So you start picking up these stories all the time, right? So you hear all of these people who are like, fuck smart, like really smart. And they're all saying the same stuff. So like Steve Jobs, LSD was the most important thing in my fucking life.
Yeah.
Jim Morrison, LSD. Oh yeah, that's where I improvised the Oedipal section at the end of the end was from his 10 things. Bill Hicks, like, I mean, my fucking hero.
We have a huge big list Bill of celebrities Hicks. At the end that we're going to go through and kind of talk about how they... Yeah, and affected us. And I wrote the list.
Yeah.
But I'd bet his money
it's
the same fucking people. Yeah.
Exactly, right? And so you start realizing these are really fucking smart people and they are all saying the same thing. Maybe the government that I don't particularly trust about a whole bunch of other shit was lying about this stuff, or this is just a politically charged opinion they're putting forward. And it's not actually, it's not objective scientific fact. Because I don't mind scientific, if all the science actually said these things will fucking kill you, then I'd be like, well, obviously don't do that because look at the science. It says these things will fucking kill you. But there was no studies and any of the reports were suppressed and, you know, donations from... You know, the alcohol industry and the pharmaceutical industry and the prison. And you kind of go, Jesus, like, maybe there might be something else to this.
But there's also the thinking then behind cigarettes, which are also a drug.
Yeah.
And there is science behind all that stuff. And they actually will kill you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then on them, they put big warnings of people with goiters and like their arseholes falling out and turning inside out and no teeth and all that shit. And it says in big letters, this will kill you. Mm. And people still do it every day in front of other people and blow it in your fucking face.
I know. And that's socially acceptable. And I remember, it's weird. I think it was like 96, 95 or 96, and the seven heads of the big tobacco went into whatever the American judicial thing is, Supreme Court, and they all swore that they did not believe that nicotine was an addictive substance. And I remember sitting there watching that, and I had a Benson and Hedges in my hands. And I fucking hated those guys because I looked down at my smoke, right? And I think about a couple of hours later, we were out having a beer, but like it's November and it's pissing rain.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and you just look at people, like now look at the smoking ban and all the people standing outside having a cigarette in the rain going, yeah, I don't believe nicotine's an addictive substance either. Because look at all the free will they're exerting here.
But it's been socially kind of, you've been socially ostracized now if you're a smoker.
Good.
So I'm saying like, when will be the next time when, and we'll talk about set and setting and stuff later on where if you're going to take acid, it shouldn't be every day, it shouldn't be at a party, but it should be as a religious or spiritual or, you know, a psychologically advantageous situation that you create for yourself and you go there specifically and purposefully to take this and for the reasons of hiring your consciousness or whatever, right?
This is what we would call in marketing a high involvement behavior.
Sure.
This is not trivial.
So we're going to make maybe a bar where you can go and it's like a, you know, an acid bar.
Absolutely.
Oh. And instead of like, you know,
we are?
Eventually,
oh, cool.
Cigarettes are going to be like, yeah, they kill you,
yeah,
but they are a great medium with which to get marijuana into your body or whatever.
Yeah, just vaporize.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Will these be run by Chinese people? Like the opium dens of old?
Who knows,
it
man.
Sounds
that would
like
be cool. Wouldn't dudes dress up in their own...
Have you ever heard the story of like Pink Floyd's first gigs that they used to play these music halls and people just go in and just drop acid and just sit down and listen to it for like, you know, fucking 6 hours something. Like this is the Syd Barrett era. And apparently it lasted for... There was this magical 6 month period where they were doing this. But obviously then it became too popular and therefore they couldn't do it. But at the start it went from like a couple of hundred people to high hundreds of people in this thing. Everyone just dropping acid and they had like projection and stuff. And like I hear that and I kind of go, what a bunch of hippies.
Like Laser Floyd.
Oh, yeah. And I kind of go, wow, I'd love to have seen that.
Like a Grateful Dead career condensed into a room. My God.
So psychedelics would be quite important to your intellectual...
I have found weights for your creativity, absolutely. Because I wouldn't have ever thought of myself as creative, and I've certainly found that they've amplified. If you consider creativity as the number of ideas and the volume of ideas, and your ability to chase ideas down, and I could see just in my writing and comedy, because the difference. You know, I think it took me 2 years to write my first 2 hour shows, and I wrote 3 1-hour shows in 18 months.
Once I started.
Yeah. We're talking like I've had 5 psychedelic experiences. Like that's all. Like, I mean, so it's not like, but like each one
is
like,
number.
Each one is a shot of like, you know, creative steroids.
That lasts for a while.
It just lasts. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's got to go to holding time.
Yeah, absolutely. This is not resonance. Something you do all the time. And here's what, you don't need to explain that to people.
Yes.
Because I was like, especially the first time, I was like, oh fuck, don't open a Pandora's box of addiction to
this
shit.
Don't get addicted.
I'm terrified. But like, I feel like enough smart people have said it's okay.
Yes.
You know, and I trust them.
Yeah.
And they,
okay.
You know, so I'm going to take a chance. But I was fucking petrified.
But there was a clinical examination of it and you had somebody that minded you and you took it in a good place.
Yeah.
And you know,
oh yeah. So like I'd done all my research and stuff and I'd calculated the risks and I was like, okay, this is a tolerable risk to take.
Yeah.
And I reckon I'd kind of, again, to use a gym analogy, it's like, you know, kind of, I'm gonna try and lift a heavier weight this week. It might fucking hurt me, but I'm going to give it a go.
Yes,
you know? So you're trying to minimize the downside.
You weren't in Egypt. You didn't, like, drink, like, 200 micrograms or whatever.
Yeah. Like I heard someone had said to me once, like, you know, oh, man, you know, don't do acid. Acid is really dangerous. I took 10 of them one time. And I went, don't take 10 of them. That's
a Hoffman dose.
That's stupid. And you see,
that's
fucking do it the first time out. I mean, that's like, yeah, sure, I was saying it to you earlier on. It's like, you know, don't use forks, man. I stabbed myself in the eye a whole bunch of times. Yeah. I mean, Jesus, you know, forks are fucking dangerous. It's like, don't do that.
Yeah, silly billy.
Yeah.
Paul, you had
Sir.
You had some hallucinogenic experiences.
Yes, I've taken a few things.
How do you classify yourself? Would you say you would be elevated since that, or how did you...
Oh, yeah, totally. Went fret to classify oneself, but feel definitely got an upgrade taking psychedelics. Took a couple of different kinds.
Yeah.
And each time, it was a transformative experience, and it lasted for a while. All very similar, you're hearing, folks. You see, there's a bit of a pattern coming on here. And, like, you knew me when you met me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't, but you met me when you met me.
I knew the you that you put forward at the time, yeah?
Yes, the me I was purporting to be.
Surely.
The avatar.
I'd never really thought that you were.
Like, I was pretty me.
You're in there somewhere. You're, you know,
yeah, secretly. Or
most of the time.
I think I'm outside most of the time. But I try not to be on the inside. I didn't think much about it, especially conspiracies. But, you know, much of... I guess I did think about, like, consciousness and stuff like that, but I never really conversed with anybody about it. I didn't have anyone in my life I could converse with. But what I did have, like, at the time that you knew me then, was the stark full belief that everything was vibrating because of an experience I had one time on mushrooms where I was pretty damn convinced by the fact that every fucking thing was vibrating in the entire universe and everything I touched was vibrating. Yeah. I could feel it all vibrating and vibrating at different frequencies. And I was like, man, everything's fucking vibrating.
Can I ask a question, right? Because I was asking someone about this, right? Vibrations, right? It's all vibes, man. It's all vibes,
man. You know, all vibrations.
We're going to win the world's first oral Nobel Peace Prize for science. We're just going to figure it all out. It's all going to be vibes, right?
Yeah.
So I was saying, so what's vibrating?
Everything.
Exactly. No, no. But so what is the thing that is vibrating? That if what are you left with if you remove the perturbations of the thing? Because something is vibrating. What is vibrating?
I would say.
What is the fundamental thing that is oscillating between a high and a low?
I would guess just potential.
Oh, a wave, you mean?
Exactly. So yeah, what is the fucking wave?
It's infinite potential. It's potential, everything. Yeah. And here's the weird thing. What yeah. I think. What I knew then was everything was vibrating. What I've learned since like simulation theory and stuff is that like everything is vibrating because everything's a wave of infinite potential. It's everything and it's nothing. And it's everything and a bit of nothing all at the same time.
Yeah.
And then it's somehow. It appears to be that it's the observance of consciousness on something that makes it real or not. Otherwise, it just is everything all at the same time.
Well, if consciousness is... I mean, like this, because this is... Okay, these are the type of thoughts that I used to think that I now subsequently think. Right?
Okay.
So what we know for a fact... Let us assume... Okay, for the moment, that what we know, we actually do know about science and stuff. And let's not assume anything supernatural, i.e. something that defies the laws of physics, just for this bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's say it's an entirely material world. So therefore, so consciousness is just the arrangement of a set of atoms mm-hmm. inside a space in a certain density enough that provides us another arrangement of atoms with a sensation of being like something, as Sam Harris says, interacting mm-hmm. with another arrangement of atoms inside. It's just all fucking atoms.
And never actually
right?
touching.
Exactly, right? Like, I'm a bowl of... Like, if you think about it, right, we're all made of the same stuff.
There's
like,
more empty space in you than there is solid
like all
mass.
That stuff, right? Yes, and we're all made of... We think quarks are...
I thought
are
you
the,
said you'd eaten before you came here. I can get you something to eat if you're...
That's just my quantum thing. I'm grumbling.
That was a quantum wave in my tummy.
Exactly, right?
Okay.
Like, we're all made of quarks, mm-hmm. right? And it's just the arrangement of the quarks in me are different than the fucking table.
Yes.
So the only difference between me and everything about me that isn't a table is just down to how the quarks are arranged.
Yes.
Like that's...
And the thing you have to...
I don't think I'm like a table at all.
Oh, no, you're very much like a table. Yeah, yeah. The thing that has to confirm you about that is every time you move, every electron in the entire universe has to move to compensate for your movement.
And
you are the entire universe. You're connected to every single part of it.
Yeah.
Everywhere, all at the same time.
Yes. Exactly. I mean, just by all being like little ball bearings on those desk things, you just can't see the ball bearings.
Yeah.
In between. That's all that it is. So, you think thoughts like that. These thoughts mm-hmm. pop into your head.
Yes.
Right? And... Only some people want, because I will have a conversation like this with somebody and they go, yeah, but like, what difference does that make to my day? And you kind of go, well, actually, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference the fact you've got to get up. Like, here's the point. Are we living in a simulation or are we not living in a simulation? Mm-hmm. I think that's a really interesting question, but it doesn't affect my day-to-day reality.
No, it doesn't change anything.
But asking the question to then discover we are living in a fucking simulation.
Yes.
Well, maybe knowing that means we can do something. Now that might affect my
decision. It doesn't necessarily mean that if we are or aren't living in a simulation that you can't have control over your day to day. And
Absolutely.
A lot of people like will condense it down or reduce it down to the fact that, what's that got to do with me?
Yeah.
And you're like, you have everything to do with everything else.
Yeah. You are the center
of the universe.
Especially
you.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about the vibrations of stuff and things
mm-hmm.
being, you know, waves of... We're getting
into
Terrence McKenna
the
stuff
space.
Now. Waves of possibility.
Upon crescents.
Yeah. Like, if you're talking about when you're not looking at something that could be anything, and then when you are looking at it, it's the thing that you are observing it to
be. It is everything and nothing when I'm not looking at it.
Yeah, and then when you look at it, it then becomes something.
Yeah.
So what's the next step above that when you look at something, you can make it what you want it to be if it's just an arrangement of anything when you're not looking at it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
We
were talking before the show and Rob was saying about like how, you know, thoughts become words and words become actions. You know, it's this thing of I thought a thing and now that thought is a thing.
Yes.
Like I reach out and through whatever medium, like if it's, you know, I want to make the handle of a hammer out of a piece of wood. Yeah. So I have to go and make the thoughts on how to do the thing and
like
what it looks like.
This
podcast and the shape and
existed as a thought in your head first.
Yeah.
Mm.
And now you are conforming reality to match the blueprint that you created in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But based on information that I want it to be this thing.
Yeah.
What steps do I need to take to learn how to do all the stuff to make it the thing that I imagine it to be? And it's not even close to what I want it to be yet.
Yeah.
But think about how good it is now.
Yes.
But that's what I'm saying. I only have to get better to make the thing that I want better. So when I'm not looking at it, or when I wasn't doing this for years, it was nothing. but it was there was a vacuum there that needed to be filled because everything is nothing. So when I started to make those steps towards it, I felt that the universe converged and went, yeah, okay, here's the stuff. Here's this thing. Here's this thing. Here's this opportunity. Here's this. And as soon as I started, like, fucking talking about the law of attraction and shit like that.
Absolutely.
But it's also that, you know, convergence, transference, and what's the other one? Convergence, transference, and interpolation of energies. So if you're going like this wave and this wave, if I make them go at the same time,
yeah,
then it creates a whole new tone, you know?
Yeah.
I just think that, like, both of you guys have maybe evolved in your thinking, not because of hallucinogens, but by way of, you know, introducing them into your consciousness.
I'm actually going to say something, because I have had thoughts.
Like, are you saying that, like, because, or okay,
it would benefit, I'm saying it would benefit anybody.
Okay, I've never taken any hallucinogenics in my life.
Right.
Are you sure?
But I have taken.
Are you sure no one's ever spiked you with something?
I've been spiked with ketamine and I was told it was cocaine before.
Yeah, that counts as a hallucinogen.
Were you disappointed?
No.
I'm sure somebody blew MDMA up your ass with a straw.
Yeah, but I knew that was going to happen. I've taken ecstasy, I've taken cocaine, I've taken
MDMA on the
marijuana,
list.
And you know,
marijuana's on the list.
Like a plethora of different, you know, uppers, downers.
Hmm.
But I've never taken something with the express desire to hallucinate, to be able to, like, because I thought it was like a, and then you take it, and then you lose control of your mind.
Yes, that's what I was told.
But there was other
things
that I wanted to take to lose control of my mind, but in a switch it off way.
Right.
So overdose on loads of hash cakes.
Right.
You know, eat fucking get a load of like soap bar hash and put it into a yogurt and eat it.
Right.
And then just like be mong, just like stuck to the sofa or whatever.
Okay.
But it never happened like that because I take it, I'd be mong for 20 minutes and then I'm all like, guys, do you want to go on an adventure? Let's go to the shop. Hey,
have you ever walked?
The mountains are out there. Like walk around the fucking mountains. Yeah. Like there's stuff that is out there that haven't been seen by my eyes. And I don't know if they're real until I do see them. Because I see them on the TV. But who knows? Like maybe someone's painting that on the inside of the TV screen. And it's not even a real thing. Like someone came up with that shit, right?
Yeah.
Like whenever you watch a movie, it always like kind of looks like a dog. But like, is there nothing that they can just say that's like a gas cloud? Is there something like, why does it always have like three eyes and make it alien? Because two eyes is normal, but three eyes is alien. Like, why is that, you know, this kind of magic?
I'm 16 and I'm deep.
Yeah, this is this thing. So I'm taking that stuff and going, blah, 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 blah. My brain is going crazy.
Yeah, the system is booting up.
Like, I'm taking like amphetamines and it's going, zzz,
my goodness.
Zzz, zzz, zzz. But it was always, almost always with alcohol as well.
Right.
Which is that depressant, which is, I felt it was kind of holding
me
down.
Were you covering things? Were you tearing head first? I don't think I was ever covering things by taking mushrooms. I think I was like, I want to take fucking mushrooms.
But that's the thing. I wasn't. And I would love to have a totally clean experience where I would go and do like what you did with ayahuasca in South America.
Yeah.
That I would go and do it and be in the set and setting and have that experience of like, like the thing of like,
transcendence.
Are you ready, God? I'm coming up for a cup of tea. Yeah.
Might you have to have that thing
pick
though?
Pick up the phone, Gordon.
You know that thing, the thing you realize about Catholicism pretty quickly, where you're like, wait, God's everywhere? And they're like, yeah. And you go, what do you build the buildings for?
Yeah.
Would you not have that thing where you're like, do I have to go to the jungle to have some priest like guy touch my head? Or is the experience not in my own head anyway? Therefore,
but look at,
I can have it anywhere.
You guys,
I'm in control of my own journey.
You guys both know me, right?
Yeah.
Never taken any hallucinogenics.
Okay.
Do I talk, sound, and am I informed
with
the things that someone who sounds taking hallucinogens like...
No, you're doing very well.
Without them. Yes. So I'm saying, imagine what I could do...
With them.
Yeah. With them.
Yeah. But you said you smoked a lot of cannabis.
Yeah.
Because I would actually say that, like, I mean, whereas I've taken the ones that would be classed as hallucinogenics, LSD and DMT and stuff like that. But I would actually say cannabis has had the most consciousness-expanding impact on me. By far of anything I've ever done, and not like, you know, kind of working out and eating healthy and like, so all of the other things as well, sleeping well, doing all
those enemas,
all those things, and fucking religion, all that kind of type of stuff, and none of them have had anywhere near the impact as just like getting mildly toasted and just being alone with my thoughts.
But that's
it's like a Ribena of psychedelics.
It's the constant though evolution of that thought. It's the constant increase of frequency, brain power, turning up the CPU clock all the time. Divergent thinking, or like the obfuscation of the mundanity and like the exploration of other options. Like you hear people of podcast land when we're doing these shows and you look at the title, the majority of the stuff that's actually in the show is all very tenuously, but also quite importantly, linked to the title. Like, we do an episode on Princess Diana, and we end up talking then about some other fucking mad shit. We talk about, like, here, the episode is about werewolves, and we end up talking about, like, the perception of humanity's abhorrence to its animalistic background or whatever. Like, you're like, oh, okay.
But that was the truth. They were
but
right.
No, I know, but yeah, I'm saying I'm coming and picking these things going, well, that means that to me, yeah, and this means, and I pull it all in.
You see the echoes. Well, isn't that the whole thing? Like, to perceive the pattern is to perceive the truth and stuff. Like, I mean, like, okay, so here's a thought. I remember when and where I had this thought. I had this thought in the afternoon, standing in the corner of my living room, right? And it was, I was thinking about fractals popped into my head, right? Because, you know,
you're a designer, your base is in advertising, you're an artist.
I would think I'm an artist. I would class, I mean, I always feel weird about that title because to me it means about quality and I'd never be kind of going, well, I'm good. But actually, I'm going to say artist from the word artifice, the maker.
Yes.
I make ideas.
You make stuff.
I absolutely make ideas.
But just so the people know that where you're coming from, like you're coming from that kind of a background, you know?
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I had this thought about kind of fractals, right? And fractals being like these formulae that kind of they have infinite similarities. So there's no bottom to them. So they're essentially infinite because you can't get to a root point and you can't get to an end point. Mm-hmm. And I just suddenly kind of went, oh, wow. So like if the universe was multidimensional, like if there's more dimensions to reality than the four that we're aware of, three spatial and one temporal, if you were to try and map higher dimensional numbers in here, you would have to do it using only fractals because they're infinite, because they won't be bounded. I meant, oh, right, so that could be why, like, you know, electrons on the quantum thing, the whole thing about the kind of the collapse of the wave and it's on a probability curve. We don't know where it is. We only think it can be here within a certain similarity.
Heisenberg's uncertainty principle.
Exactly, because they're higher dimensional objects, so therefore we can't plot the boundaries of the realities they're in. So therefore all we can say is within a tolerance, because you can't plot a midpoint if everything is infinitely far away from everything else.
Observing it, you're indeed changing its path.
You've got to put a limiting box around that kind of gives you, I start to measure from this point, now I can plot your three-dimensional thing. And that's the big nipply bit on the bell curve. And I was crap at maths.
Yeah.
And I had that thought.
But yet
thought,
you could have that understanding of what
that was.
And
that happened in about... Now, I don't know if that's utter bollocks, what I've just said, right? And it could very well be utter bollocks. But here's what it absolutely do. You would kind of go, the behavior of the electron is exactly the behavior you would expect from a higher dimensional particle interacting with this reality. And I had the idea about like a polarizing filter. So a dimensional polarizing filter that just blocks out other dimensional information. And we just get the bits that poke through into ours.
Yeah. Mm. We talked about that on the last show.
Right. So I'm going to say...
Ed and Lorraine Warren, we talked about on the last show where some people are able to perceive like ghosts and spiritual, you know, ethereal beings and stuff like that.
Paranormal activity.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Islamic faith talks about the jinn, which are not like ghosts or demons, but they're just like humans with no body that exist on another plane of existence.
Yeah.
But because the limitations of our mind and our like physical senses, like our eyes only have a certain frequency that they can see from and we can't see anything else because of that. Now, the imbibement of LSD will cause...
Yeah.
Things to be seen, not because they're there, but because they are perceived to be there. It's inside the head, or is it?
Yeah.
Do you know? And actually, these kind of things, like, are you given that skill or that that frequency response? You know, when you're playing like Solid Snake, what was that? Metal Gear Solid. You're playing Metal Gear Solid, you know?
Okay.
And if you had got a lend of that game off your friend and you're playing Metal Gear Solid, it's all like, come in, Snake. You got to go do this thing with this thing. It's like, have you got the frequency? You had to have the frequency in the little radio to call your one.
Yeah.
But if you didn't have the box.
Yes.
The fucking on the back of the box was that frequency that you had to type into your radio, but you didn't know until halfway through the game that that's what you're supposed to do.
Okay.
So if you didn't have that frequency, you couldn't get back to that part.
You can't
game.
Access that information.
So somebody comes and goes, dial in 103.6.
Yeah.
And, you know, press the thing and it's like, hi, Snake. And your one comes up and he's like, fucking deadly. I'm into the next part. Like, it's those kind of things that people can come and give you from outside of your own experience, like the likes of Timothy Leary, or indeed Bill Hicks, or Terence McKenna, or reading Carlos Castaneda, or these other psychonauts, they will come back and say, do this, and then this will happen. Like Robert Anton Wilson comes back and he says, like, you know, if you want to experience this, do this. We talked about Grant Morrison on the show before, where he's like, I went to Kathmandu in 1994 to get abducted by aliens. And I went through all of these different
set out like spiritual instructions, and mercurial blobs that live in the fifth dimension came and took my consciousness and flew me in the galaxy. And you're like, yeah, I buy that. I believe that shit. Like, I mean, what's in me to say that his consciousness didn't travel through time and space and in an ineffable journey through the universe?
Here's the thing, like in marketing, right, when you do research, so you want to do it to a degree of statistical probability. So what you would say, you would never base anything on research that was less than 95% plus or minus 5% reliable. So the number of people you ask has to be representative of the population, or else you can't extrapolate out from that small sample. Mm. Okay. Now, so 95% plus or minus 5%. So a 10% kind of thing. And we know 4% of the universe.
Yeah.
Everything we perceive is 4% of the universe. Because then there's 15% on top of what we can see as dark matter, and 72 or 73% of that is dark energy.
Yes.
So we know 4%.
Yeah.
In marketing terms, that's you don't know anything.
Yeah.
You actually don't know anything.
Like, half of it could be filled with spaghetti.
Who knows, right? Now, that is not to say that we absolutely know nothing, because the Large Hadron Collider works and there's stuff. But to assume that just because we absolutely can't see something, that means it doesn't have any impact on us. Like, that's just, that I just can't get behind that arrogance.
Yeah. Mm.
Because maybe psychedelics, because the opposing...
But that's where then the religion part of it comes in.
Exactly.
So you're talking about psychedelics versus religious.
Well, it's the whole thing, like consciousness. Religion.
Like spirituality versus religion, let's say.
Which is,
so spirituality is a really good thing to have.
Yeah.
But if you wrap it up in a doctrine that has rules that you must not break.
Doctrines are bad.
Then you're like,
that. Religion is fine without dogma. Exactly. Sure. Right. So you're talking about the consciousness as a signal, or consciousness as a computation.
Mm.
Is the consciousness being generated by the computer in my head, or is the computer in my head a satellite dish and it's receiving a signal? And I used to do this bit in my show where I talked about, if you believe in the consciousness signal, then there's a ramp of consciousness, and we're just, our brains are a 1080p Sky HD box full subscription 4K receiver. A gorilla is like a 1996 28-inch widescreen PAL signal, and you go all the way down to, like, I don't know, a fucking snail, and it's like smoke signals or just banging rocks together in terms of the level of that. The more neurons you have, maybe that's what it is. It's got something with neuron density. I don't bloody know. But the more of them you have, because we have the most dense cortex of any animal. There's more neurons packed more tightly into it than anything else, because it's not about the size of your brain, because whales got fucking huge brains.
Well, as we talk about later on, LSD affects those hubs, those neuron clusters, and takes away from the linear thought that the human consciousness is predisposed to, which is, This make good thing.
Absolutely.
And it goes like, this, then everything, then nothing, then all of us, then none of us, then apple, then the thing. And you're like, oh, I don't understand.
Yeah.
That's the point. Yes. Like, the way it's able to subvert all of those like linear thought processes, that's probably why like divergent thinking would be the natural result. I can pick this and this and put these two
together.
I see that reflected in, you know, the zeitgeist of, you know, the modern trends on social media and stuff like that. There's a huge subconscious yearning to have that question answered, that satisfaction going, what makes the thing the thing?
Exactly.
And also they want to go, I want to be able to take this thing and then put this thing together, and even though they don't make any sense, it's just a wonderful thing then.
Yeah.
And I think that's encapsulated perfectly in the song Apple Pen Pineapple Pen, where it's like,
I don't know that song.
Oh, you don't know this song?
No.
It's like a guy, I think he's a Korean guy, and he's like, I have an apple, I have a pen, apple pen. Have you never heard this?
No,
okay. I'm going to have to.
So presumably that is, okay, right. So what he is doing there is just very clumsy gene splicing. He's just doing it at a very macro level.
No, like it means nothing. And to maybe put a full stop in this crazy conversation of, there's 40 something minutes there of, are you ready to listen to this show? I think you may be. Like, this is where your head needs to be. You're probably in work now going,
your consciousness must be this tenderized to proceed.
Meow, meow, meow.
We're ready to swallow you now. I'm going to put on Apple Pen, Pineapple Pen. Cool. Just to maybe lead us into the next bit, which nice. Is take two things, put two things, and make another, a whole new thing that may Beautiful. Not be a thing before. P-P-A-P.
Whoa.
I have a pen. I have an apple. Apple pen. I have a pen. I have pineapple. Pineapple pen. Apple pen. Pineapple pen. Pen pineapple. Apple pen.
And that's got 135 million views.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Worth every penny.
That's the binaural
that's
beat.
It. That's,
I thought it was binaural beat for a second.
That's
I was like,
binaural beat.
Is this guy putting me into a trance state?
That
like
is.
This?
That is.
There's something inside that is
absolutely
appealing to.
It's a virus.
Yeah. Maybe some kind of.
It's the Flappy Bird of music. There's something in there that's happening.
There's something in there that's more than what's just on the surface. You
that
know?
Korean guy knows the secret.
But also, it's a thing of like. Take a day and another day.
Stick them together.
This is a thing. Yeah. And you're like, oh. So there's maybe...
That's how gravity works.
On some certain levels, people are going like, I get it. Do you know, I can see in like 10 years time, somebody doing like a thesis or something like that going, and what that guy actually meant was that he wants to take, you know, a democratic socialism and then a capitalist ideal and be able to put them together. And it was a comment on the company Apple who were trying to do that. I mean, Apple Pen was one of the most innovative objects of the 21st century.
We'd
I
like
mean,
you all know. To stand for the national anthem, yeah. Gang style.
Are you apple, like the, pen, you can, pineapple,
but is it more than you can read anything into it, think of it?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He's saying the pen is mightier than the apple.
And then he's saying right. The pineapple.
The pen of the European Union, which might be evolution. Is mightier than the lawyer of the apple.
It's just a weird little thing. Let's clean your mind now.
Yes.
We're going to clean the mind.
That was like, an apple granita to put into your mind in that order was to cleanse your brain palate.
An apple pineapple sorbet. Mind sorbet.
That's
so,
what a granita is, goddamn you.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You so, fucker.
I can get, yeah, but it's too fancy.
How do you spell it?
Phonetically.
Okay.
It's too fancy though, granita.
I mean, ask Google, right?
We know.
Oh, no, I bet you could guess that if you try.
We know sorbet. We don't know granita.
I think sorbet sounds like flourier than granita does.
Granita is just flavored ice, is it?
Well, it just means it's like chuffed up with a fork.
Ah, that's actually I like it better like that.
Right,
but they call that sorbet.
I usually get sorbet in like a ball or
in a ball. Yeah, and you have to break it off.
You have to chuff it up yourself.
I like the chuff.
Granita's already chuffed for you.
So it's like a kind of a snow cone.
Yes.
Okay.
We're onto something.
So it's like a mental snow cone.
The more you know, that was your...
for your brain palate.
That was your cooking lesson for today, folks.
Bang, bang, bang.
Epicurean.
The more you know. So we're going to get into it. Like, I feel kind of at odds because my knowledge would be less. Like, my first-hand knowledge would be less. Because
no,
you guys
someone
have
has
taken
to come from
the
point of view of, like, what it's like to go, oh, yeah. I'm not sure about that. I fear of my own, like, mental safety. If
now,
something goes wrong.
Like all my life
be
I have
be the voice of people who haven't.
Yeah, all my life I haven't wanted to because I didn't think I was ready. Now I think I'm more ready than I ever was. And I feel if I do
bet
it the right way.
This episode has changed your mind a lot.
Yeah. If I do it the right way in the right space, I can either become totally like stuck in a deep psychosis, which is what I feared.
Yeah, it will break my brain.
Or I'd be grand, probably.
Yeah. Mm.
But also you're both of those things at the same time.
Yeah, but so I really don't want to be one of those things.
Yeah, that's true.
Because like,
there's one outcome I have a much higher preference for.
Welcome to those conspiracy guys.
Absolutely.
Like, it's not a fucking business we need to be in if we're paranoid, we're not going to really get... Do you know what I mean? Like, we're not... If I go into a psychosis now, it's like, oh my God, everyone's listening to me. Yeah, we are. So, hurry up and make the show.
There is no psychosis anymore. So,
if we're gonna talk about then what's a psychedelic itself. So, we say psychedelics, we say hallucinogenics, we say, you know, drugs.
So, I would
overall.
Say the first thing is to separate hallucinogenic from psychedelic.
Sure.
I would say, because I think cannabis to me would definitely fall under the psychedelic category, not under the hallucinogenic category.
So, to hallucinate would be to have, like, auditory or visual stimulation that isn't
reflective physical, of what's happening.
But it's created inside the mind, perceived inside the mind as a physical thing.
And I always thought that that's all that psychedelics were.
Yeah.
That it was just about seeing shapes and colours and stuff. That there was literally nothing else. It was an entirely visual, superficial experience. Boy, was I fucking wrong.
Gets you right to your bones, right?
Completely. That is the least... It is just the least part of the entire experience is the visuals.
Yeah.
It's just, that is so trivial when viewed in comparison to the overall, the total experience. It's like, you never think, oh, and then I saw some crazy shit and trails and stuff like that. That is like, who cares?
Yeah.
It's not about that.
But that's level one experience of it. It's like, I took this thing and it fucked me up a bit.
Yeah.
I'm wanting to get the spiritual out.
Absolutely. And that's,
my vibration thing, I think, came from a lot of visuals.
Yeah.
It was because I couldn't touch everything, but I could see that everything was vibrating.
So it was.
I guess if I hadn't had those visuals, I wouldn't have had that realization.
Yeah. Okay.
Not that that's a realization, I guess. I could be fucking wrong about that. No, I just feel that I'm very right.
But it asked a question. A question that had... So a thing that was like boxed off, I know exactly what this is.
Yeah, I was like cognitively thinking, why is that building over there vibrating?
It asked the what if question.
And I was like, why is that happening now? Yeah. And in all throughout the entire trip, I worked through that thought.
Yeah.
And then got to the end and went... Everything I touch is vibrating slightly differently. I'm like, oh fuck, everything's vibrating. It's so simple. Why did this take me 3 hours to realize this?
Yeah.
I'm like, because of all those like weird little colors and shadow things moving past my eyes, it kept distracting me. That's why. I had to learn. I guess you're right. I had to learn to kind of cut out some of the auditory stuff and some of the visual stuff in order to think
LSD,
while you're on it.
ADHD. LSHADHD. Lashahad.
So where does the word psychedelic then come from, Paul?
Ah, well, the word psychedelic, of course, comes from an Englishman. It was English psychiatrist Humphrey Osmond who coined the term. But in 1956, he combined the Greek word psyche, meaning, which was already around, I guess, being used, meaning mind or soul, with delein, meaning to manifest.
It says it all, really.
So, psychedelic is something that manifests one's mind or soul.
Yeah. It brings it up into brings. I mean, my experience would be it brings things that are operating on the subconscious level into the conscious level and makes them interrogatable.
Yes,
right.
You can get at your base programming. You can get at your base assumptions, and you can actually go, let's work this problem. Am I absolutely sure this is what's going on here?
Yes. It's like a Ouija board for your own soul.
Yeah.
And then once done, instant transformation can happen.
Well, that's it. Like, there are certain realizations I have had on psychedelics that have stayed with me after the fact.
Yes.
And they have fundamentally changed.
They're like a filter that you use to filter everything.
Completely.
But when you put the all the toys back in the toy box, they go in a different way then, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like
some of the toys you have no attachment to anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck these
toys.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Loads more room in my box
fuck
now.
Fuck these toys. Absolutely.
Osmond was he was
a firm believer in psychedelics himself. He would have been a psychonaut of types, which I'll explain later what that is. But he'd have been one of those. And he noted the similarity of mescaline molecules to adrenaline molecules.
Wow.
So he's doing it on the scientific level. He wasn't just like...
Oh, he's a proper scientist.
Hopping a load of mescaline.
Yeah. Well, you could be both.
As what
you could be both.
Mutually exclusive, I guess, right?
He then kind of came up with, because he noticed that similarity between mescaline and adrenaline, he came up with a theory that abnormal adrenaline production in the adrenal gland could be the cause of certain types of like mental issues, hallucinations people have, schizophrenia, things like that.
Oh, okay.
And he researched that his entire life. But he was a mescaline dabbler himself. In 1953, after some correspondence with Aldous Huxley, he flew to Los Angeles and gave Huxley his first ever dose of mescaline, administered it to him, and sent him on his journey through the doors of perception.
Yeah. For those that don't know, Aldous Huxley is a writer, a really famous author who wrote Brave New World and...
All about how you can control people with drugs.
Well, Soma. Yeah. Right?
Soma, absolutely.
That's the way. So a psychedelic is like a drug that's classified as... something that alters like how you perceive stuff then, right?
Yes. It's different. There's a psychedelic and there's a psychoactive, which I hear people saying a lot.
So psychoactive would be like marijuana and ecstasy and stuff like that.
No. Anything that affects how you perceive reality is psychoactive. That's the psychoactive aspect of it. It just makes...
So like alcohol would be psychoactive.
Alcohol is psychoactive. Nicotine is psychoactive.
Night nurse.
Absolutely. Anything that changes your base level perception of reality is psychoactive.
Yes. Changes brain function.
Yeah.
But doesn't necessarily have to have a hallucinogenic or any kind of altered cognition elements.
So psychedelic then is the thing that puts that extra layer.
Amphetamines, methamphetamines, caffeine, Ritalin. Opiates like heroin, they're all morphine, they're all
psychoactive. They have an effect that you can feel, and it's like, oh, this isn't normally how reality feels.
Oh. So like not like happiness or like having a good shite.
Well, it's, I'm sure some of them make you feel pretty good.
Yeah, but they're technically not psychoactive, right?
They wouldn't be psychedelic.
No, I've had a few like psychoactive shites.
Yeah.
Like where you're just like, oh, no. Like I feel better about my life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It happens when you don't have too many good ones in a row and then you just get the fucking great one.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the butt plug plunger. Yeah.
Yeah. The way that they're all broken up then, there are some very famous hallucinogens or psychedelics that would be like in the cultural, like, zeitgeist, the knowledge of the base knowledge, even like old grannies know the name of it and young kids know the name of it from like TV shows, movies, this kind of stuff.
Cause the bad guys be having them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why the bad guys always have them.
It's always the bad guys.
It's always the fucking bad guys.
This, you know.
But there are drugs that the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, or MAPS.
Nice.
It's a good acronym Mind for maps. People who want to go and find themselves, right?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
These guys, and girls, I suppose, basically come together and they're the ones who would analyze, standardize, experiment, and inform people on all of these different types of psychoactive and psychedelic drugs and substances.
Mm-hmm.
And they advocate for the uses of these certain and particular psychological disorders and conditions like schizophrenia,
post-traumatic
PTSD, all this kind of stuff.
Depression,
alcoholism. And the different drugs, they break them down into like the main ones. So the top one will probably be LSD that we would all
know the name of.
So, like, LSD is primarily used to treat alcoholism and anxiety, and it's known for its visual hallucinations, geometric patterns, vibrant colors, and then, you know, if you take enough of it, you're able to create music on a scale from good to terrible.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of subjective.
Some,
you know,
amazing art has been made
while
under the influence and inspired by being under the influence of LSD.
Absolutely.
And that's just a fact.
And a lot of time's been spent in a sandbox hanging out with Charlie Manson while on LSD.
Oh, absolutely. The sunshine acid.
Yeah.
A 2012 analysis of studies from the 60s and 70s, though, determines that alcoholics who took LSD had decreased rates of alcohol abuse with effects lasting for months after dosing. So that goes into the stuff that you were saying, Rob, about a long-lasting effect.
Yeah.
So you've taken DMT and LSD.
I've taken LSD, DMT, CB4, MDMA.
CB4. That's some crazy shit, right?
The list of
maybe I just didn't take enough because I didn't particularly have anything on it. And then recently, myself and my wife were in Amsterdam and we did mushrooms.
The mushrooms would be a nice clean high, I'd say.
It was entirely transcendent spiritual experience.
Mm. And I'm sure.
And I'm not even doing it justice using those overblown words.
I've met your wife, and I'd say if there was anybody that would be a pleasant experience to have while on mushrooms, it would probably be her. And yourself. I'm sure there was lots of... A lot of grabbing of faces.
Yeah. You don't understand how much I love you.
Yes. But pulling you towards... How can two people meet the chances?
All of that stuff, man.
Yeah. And then she turns around and she's like, that's a lamppost, Rob. I know,
but like you told me it was the lamppost.
I'm probably poo-pooing that. You don't like think a lamppost is a person.
No,
that's,
you don't.
But that's the thing.
That's
like,
the thing.
That's
this
the
is
thing.
All the bad
I'm
shit that's been kind of portrayed about it and stuff. And that
I feel bad even making that joke because I'm like, go on for the cheap LSD joke.
It's kind of like, look, it's... If you remember that Simpsons episode where Otto drops some acid and then he's looking at his shoes and they're talking to him, the bit that's happening all around that is definitely what it's like. The bit where the shoes are actually talking to you is not quite what it's like.
That's just for people to get the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all. Yeah. No, but I mean, but then again, I see like in people's... I'm guessing it's like in art and TV and movies and stuff, people who've never taken acid who will like then have to like direct a scene or something where someone's on acid. And
I don't think you possibly could. I mean,
I've seen stuff where I'm like, no, that's not, that's clearly someone who's never taken acid who thinks that's what it's like.
Exactly.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
Rather than the experience of, because the experience of like,
I was unprepared
for
it.
You're still, you're not like insane. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you're not like,
I've seen it.
Gullible or something. You know what I mean? You're more...
There's comedy shows and stuff where people... Like, I watched an episode of Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Right.
If you're from America...
You're lucky that you might never have heard of that TV
show.
Yeah,
don't even look that up, man. Yeah. Right? And
it's like Father Ted if everything went wrong.
And there was one episode of it, and I was watching with my family, and Mrs. Brown accidentally took an LSD dose, or a tablet or whatever
they thought
it was. Yeah. And it was mistaken for, like, you know, a drug that comes out of the chemist's. It was in a bottle, like a chemist's bottle. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not how it happens.
Yeah.
And she took it. And then, like, after maybe 15 minutes later on in the episode, she was, like, running around the house. But, like, seconds after she took it, she was going... going, what's that behind me? Like, yeah, and it was just pure. It was a pure like miscommunication.
It's just lies.
There's no like, there's no CGI on a trip. It's like anything that you do see that might not be there is kind of formless.
But there's loads of artists. Well, for me, anyway. See, like in my research over the whole week, I've been looking at stuff on the internet. I've been looking at stuff on Reddit, and there are artists that are trying to recreate. Yeah. The things that they saw, like we're going to talk about other stuff like LSA.
It's
and
like trying to recreate a dream.
Ayahuasca.
It's like, have you ever tried to like direct a movie of a dream or paint a picture of a dream? Yeah. It can't be done.
But there's people that have taken like salvia, peyote, mescaline, LSA, all these kind of other very visually stimulating hallucinogens. And they try to recreate them in the art. But maybe they've had the experience, but they haven't got the skill to manifest it into art or whatever. I can see a lot of... maybe what people would see in the visuals, maybe from like, you know, the Mexican wrestler art.
Yeah.
And the way all that stuff is all like very ornately decorated.
Oh, geometric shapes. Yeah. Those fuckers come flying at you.
I mean, the mandalas of Tibet where the monks are all
like
doing
a kaleidoscope
that stuff.
Like, kind of thing, but not like a kaleidoscope. Yeah. It's like they're not connected or something. It's
That's the thing. I haven't had it, so I'm making shitty lamppost jokes.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No, but what you think it is.
That's what people... that's the perception that people have, that we're going to try and maybe like squash today in a scientific way, and also in a... like, I'm coming from the science, like, I read a thing on this.
But I worry when Gordo...
and you guys are like, no, I felt it.
I worry when Gordo takes acid, he'll be like... you know, like when someone tells you a movie's incredible, and you go and see it, and you're like... it's good, but I maybe got overhyped for it. Is he going to then like have his first acid trip and be like... I mean, it's cool, but it's not as... you know... it's not as cool as I thought it was going to be.
Quite possibly. But I mean, it's
I guess it's possible, but...
all I can say...
I guess it depends on you. I think it's really tailored to the individual.
If I feel like that, I would imagine someone who takes acid quite a bit says that you didn't take enough then.
Yeah.
Like, I'm ready to go...
if you take a little bit, you just dance a lot and sweat.
I think in about a year's time, I'll have the mental fortitude to be able to take a Timothy Leary, like, heroic dose. And I will court.
You wouldn't do that first, though.
I would do that first.
Yeah, sure, why not?
I would court
psychosis.
I don't think your brain can break, dude.
I say, let's do it.
No, but there is definitely, and here, and this is also a fact. We absolutely know this. People who have got an underlying mental illness condition that can be amplified. Now, this is not cannabis makes people schizophrenic because the percentage of schizophrenia hasn't increased, so therefore cannabis isn't. We know more people are smoking it, so therefore you'd expect more schizophrenics, and there aren't any. But there is definitely an elevated chance of mental damage in some people.
Yeah, but it's only psychological. It's not physiological. You can't like blow the neuroreceptor fuses in your mind.
Sid Barrett.
Yeah, but at the same time,
here's the point. He was sick already.
Yeah,
right. And was he managing his sickness up to that point? And I'm not advocating not doing it. What I'm saying is just. It is, I would not say take a heroic dose first time, because that's a bit like saying, I'm going out for my first drink, what are you going to have?
Well, yeah,
two bottles of neat vodka.
It's like we were saying about smoking weed. It's everything in moderation. Like, we don't like it monged on weed, because like I don't like drinking 50 cans and then puking
like,
my
here's
ring.
The point. If I'm right, okay, then you risk some level of damage.
Ah.
Okay? But here's the point. But if I'm right, so therefore you just start a little bit lower. And at some point you will hit a higher dosage level maybe before you would get to what you would class as the Terence McKenna kind of level. Because that's still available to you. It's not that you...
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you know what I mean?
But I'm the kind of guy who's like, I want everything or nothing, you know?
We're going to hear some science later, though, that I think might challenge some of these ideas.
Yeah, we keep going.
The cutting edge stuff, because we'll find out with the science and how it's working, but
there's
going on now that's quite exciting in the world.
Creative industry mandated, like, small daily LSD doses.
Well, they're microdosing in Silicon Valley.
Not daily.
Daily?
No, not daily.
Weekly?
Oh, it doesn't work daily.
Oh, does it not?
No. We're going to go into the science of it. I'm going to find out how it works.
All right, cool. So, yeah, LSD, the way it works... it binds to certain serotonin receptors that primarily activate the frontal lobe and the anterior cingulate and insular cortices, which is the plural of cortex, which I had to go and I was like, cortis? Is that not a thing that like a big girl wears to make sure her have a skinny waist.
Oh, I thought it was the name of like a Mexican person.
Yeah, Cortez.
This is coming for you.
These anterior cingulate and insular cortices are linked to consciousness and emotion. So when you take LSD, you are directly affecting the chemicals in the parts of the brain that are where scientists imagine our consciousness to be. Now, there's no way to exactly like pinpoint exactly where consciousness is.
It feels like that. But, the subjective experiences, that's exactly how it feels.
Yeah. It's like that old Gary Larson
boost character. Wipeout or whatever, or Mario Kart.
It's like the Gary Larson cartoon of the guys all standing over the brain surgery patient, and one guy is like, his foot is up in the air, and he's like,